Contemporary pop and folk all at the same time.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's got such a catchy tune. Well, guys, this is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. This is BBS Radio. And on this show, we talk about you, about special subjects and that we've been researching here at the Sound Health Institute. I'm here with Tall Blonde Heather.
Hi.
And Bailey, our clinical coordinator, who all of you liked the idea that she came in and talked about appointments here and what we do. Okay, on this show, we ask you, the caller, the audience, to call in. We take a few minutes of your voice as a sample right over the phone. Then we put the sounds from your voice in our magic computer program, and then we provide answers to you about you. Well, it really isn't a magic computer program. We worked hard to create this program.
We have a lot of people working very hard every day. I see it on a daily basis, sometimes a nightly basis, updating these databases, huh, Bailey?
Amen.
We were so busy today. It was so wonderful, and we learned so much. We use these computer programs to make it easy for you guys to tell who you are, what you want, what your potential is. And we really do want you to call in today. Heather, do you have the call-in number?
I do. Toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Worldwide, toll-free, 877-489-6350. And if you can't get through on those numbers, try this one. Area code 530-776-5154.
And if they want to email us, which a lot of our people do, it's radio at vocalprofiling.com. So we've got that open and we're waiting for you. And Heather, don't we have a surprise for them too?
Absolutely. The audience, please join us now on Skype. For those of you who don't know what Skype is, it is a live chat program using the voice. So it's kind of like a free phone call over the computer. If you don't have it, go to Skype, that's skype.com, download the program, very quick download, and just enter in your profile information. Then you add us, and our name is vocalprofilinglive.com.
And you just beep us, and we'll run over to the computer, and we'll put you on, and you can see right now we have Vocal Profiling Live up, a really nice backdrop here.
Yeah, we have a webcam going, so you can watch your vocal profiling print being done live online.
Aren't you and somebody working on a project to get this up on camera for all time?
And that's one thing I'm very excited about this week. I'm happy to announce the arrival of Justin, a new media person working with me. He's from Los Angeles, California. He's been working in the business 5 or 6 years now, and he heard about us. He come here, and we've got some really, really exciting media projects going on, the very least, not the very least, being some new audio things.
I heard some of the new commercials you guys did today. I love them.
Yeah, yeah. So we're very excited about that, and we'll probably roll those out this Sunday on Sherry's other show, Sound Health Radio.
Okay, Bailey, tonight we're really going to talk about stroke with you folks, and any of you who've had a stroke, you could call in and we'll take a look at your print. We may be able to get some anti-aging, and a lot of you have written to us about they want some more information about the diet management program, so we're going to do that too. Bailey, how's that program going? You and Nikki been handling that?
The bio diet?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki informed me today that she's lost 46 pounds
wow.
so far. I'm kind of a slacker and haven't really worked much on mine.
You know, it's funny to watch Nikki, even though she said she wasn't so great at her diet this past week, and she continues to lose weight. And I think it's because she's speeded up her metabolism.
Kind of reset it.
It's amazing. She's got on pants that were tight 2 weeks ago that are now hanging on her. So this is really working. I mean, it's an amazing process to see.
Do you remember last week when she was so grouchy? My God. And we said, you got to go get your voice done. And she got it done and put on her sounds. And what did it take, 20 minutes, and she's a happy camper again?
Yeah, yeah.
That is kind of amazing to watch. Didn't you guys call a bunch of people from another show we've been on?
Yes, the Ben Joseph show, Dr. Ben Joseph.
And how many people did you call and do for that show?
28 free profiles.
Then we offer 10. How'd that roll into 28?
Yeah, we were excited.
And people were excited, right?
Yes.
What'd they say when you called them up and said, hey, we're going to do your free vocal print?
Everybody was excited. Everybody wanted to know more. It was hard to get off the phone with people.
I think what we've done is create a market that we need to fill, and we need to talk to people about taking our classes. Heather, do you have a schedule of classes for this week?
I don't have. We just had one yesterday.
April 25th is the next online demo.
Okay.
The preview class, and that's where Sherry kind of goes over what bioacoustics is and how you can use it to help yourself and your family and maybe create your own practice with it.
Heather, class this month is closed, isn't it?
We have been closed for a while. Unfortunately, we are limited to the number of people because it is somewhat of an intensive course. So I suggest if you want to join us, please get in contact with us soon to sign up for it because, like I said, there is limited seating available.
Next one in April?
It is in April.
But that's the full professional course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is steps that they can take before they get there, right?
Mm-hmm. The first step is to do the preview class, and then you go on to level one, and then level two is the full course to make you become a practitioner.
Is there flyers or something about that they
mm-hmm.
can get?
You can find out all about us on Nutrasound.com. There's pages and pages of information on that site.
And they can download client
info? Packet, student packet. There's schedules on there. There's press releases. There's articles. There's client profiles. There's videos.
And free charts and things that we talk about
Absolutely.
Here. With the new preview course and what's happening tonight on this show, do you have a surprise for people? Aren't we going to give them something?
Am I allowed to do that?
Well, we talked about it today. I don't know if you were in the meeting, but for our BBS listeners and people who join our preview class, we are going to provide to them the Vocal Profiling Computer Program for a free trial.
Oh, have we told our bookkeeper this yet? That's why I was hesitant on that. So we're going to do the 5-day free software trial for those of you who join us in our preview class. So be sure to contact us.
Well, even if they want it before the preview class so they can put it on their computer and be ready, can we give it to them? You're going to send Heather. Oh, no, it's Renee, isn't it?
Well, go ahead and send it to me, and I can work with Renee on this.
Okay, so Heather, Heather@VocalProfiling.com. send her an email and say, I want my free trial for this invoice program that we're going to do tonight, all the personality profile. And they'll send you back a number, and that number entitles you to a download of this program with the instruction booklet and everything and how to do it. And we're going to give them a class on how to do it.
This is the first time we've ever offered that.
Yes, it absolutely is. And when we tell Susan tomorrow,
Susan will be upset. We will get phone calls.
I hope we get lots of phone calls. I want everybody to have this stuff.
Well, it's a wonderful program. This program, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, this is a program we use on Vocal Profiling Live that just amazes people when they see these reports. They're like, that is so me.
When you were doing the profile reports with the bio diet, were people amazed at what you found, Bailey?
Yeah, I mean, Nikki did most of the talking and I took notes, but people were amazed because she would say, it looks like you're having an issue with this, and they'd say, oh, yeah, I hadn't even talked about that yet. So, yeah, people were very amazed.
I think one of the things Nikki told me is that people were amazed we were really doing it. They thought it was some kind of scam.
Yeah. I did have a couple people that said they figured it was a scam and we wouldn't call back, but we took care of them.
We call people back, we do.
Why do you think people get this idea that it's a scam?
There's so many scams out there. You never know.
I see a lot of scams of our stuff, that people have taken our stuff and kind of diluted it and are giving people just a little teeny piece of it or something totally wrong.
And charging people three times what we charge for the legitimate, real, accurate information, which that's what kills me.
I just saw somebody advertising a nutrition program, and it was somebody who worked for us formerly, mm-hmm. and they're charging $2,900 for this nutrition program. The same one that we charge for a whole kit with two other programs and their microphone and their class, we charge $970.
And they have old, outdated, inaccurate information on that program. So
absolutely. And we got a call from our attorney. Somebody had called him, well, had sent him information and called him. And then we begin to get a flood of phone calls and emails. I just think we have absolutely made it to the cream of the crop, the top. Somebody has done or attempted to do a smear campaign on us. They're sending out emails saying that this is a fraud, it's a fake, my degrees are fake. One guy actually petitioned the local university to take back my degrees. They're just doing it to aggravate because they're calling their classes the same thing our classes are called. So that to me, you know, this thing about flattery and that people follow you.
Imitation.
And then they try to make everybody else seem bad but them. But I don't think there's anybody out there doing vocal profiling that isn't one of our students that we caught stealing or doing things wrong, like that guy who wanted everybody to get naked to get their vocal profiles done.
That sounds like an interesting story. I don't think I've heard that. I remember that.
That was a little weird. There's even professional organizations that are doing this. You know, not only this campaign, they called a lot of people up and they actually paid them to write smear letters to places we were going to be. And the people, the conferences were going to be, the people who were publishing our stuff, they knew us, mm-hmm. and they knew better than to believe this, and they sent all the stuff over to us. And some of them even recorded some of the phone calls, what these people were trying to do. Some of them said, well, I'm Dr. blah, 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 and I know this to be a fake and a fraud, and boy, if we ever go to court with these people, we got them tied up. But, you know, the court system's useless. They're not going to do anything about it. Karma's going to get them, though.
Times three.
The American Acoustic Society, I mean, how many years have we been doing this? It's called Human Bioacoustics. Several years ago, they decided to adopt Human Bioacoustics as their term, and it's what we've been calling our stuff all along. So I just wrote them a letter, and I said, I'm very happy you're doing this. I'm very happy you're finally seeing that Human Bioacoustics is a legitimate study. And so after that, after they took our normal words, human bioacoustics, we made up a word. We now call our stuff a sonistry. So just like there's a system of chemistry with elements, we have a system of sound called sonistry. Let's see him take that one, because we decided to trademark that one. Let's
Unfortunately, anytime you have anything good that works, people are going to attempt that. But anyone who knows this knows that you are the source of this. So.
Well, it's in lots of books. It's in the Duke Encyclopedia of
You're
New Medicine.
You're in 30 books. So there's
really?
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. I think once we announced that we were in Sylvia Franck's book, and then she appeared at our conference,
yeah.
You know, it's just gone boom, because people are beginning to realize, and I didn't know it at the time, that the information and the math that we work with to do these vocal profiles actually come from the Holy Grail mysteries. That answered so many questions for me, because I didn't realize where this stuff came from. And when you read Sylvia Singh in her book, Tree of Life and the Holy Grail, she says it so gracefully about who we are. And I think people are beginning to pay attention on the scientific side, Duke University. Mm-hmm. There's another one called the Scientific Basis of Integrative Medicine. We're in that one. So we're getting good vibes from the scientific world, good vibes from the esoteric world. And we've said that all along. We have no home. We have one foot in each one.
I prefer to think of us as a bridge to the two.
Well, look at the big army project we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the people who sent us one of the emails that they'd been sent about these people trying to call them and ruin our reputation. We'd already worked with these people, so they knew better.
Yeah.
But isn't that awesome?
You know you've made it when somebody starts a smear campaign.
I just think it's incredible. You know, another one that took our stuff was Pfizer Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
They published a paper about using vocal profiling for Parkinson's disease to depict it. And we'd done that 15 years ago. And they were using even the same equipment, the same protocol. So somewhere they got a hold of one of my papers, so don't know. What's going on? Well, tonight I promised you that we're going to talk about stroke. And a stroke is a blood clot in your brain that causes you to be incapacitated in a lot of ways. Maybe you've seen somebody that their arm's all curled up or their leg won't work and it begins to atrophy. And well, last August, I had a stroke. It wasn't something that I anticipated. In any way, I was too stupid. I decided to do a colon cleanse, and so I was eating lots of nuts and roughage, mainly nuts, with lots of vitamin K. And that's all I ate for 3 or 4 days. And my husband was in England, so I wasn't sleeping well because I just can't sleep without him being there. Well, actually, it's because I could get a lot more work done. I just kept on working. So I'd been up for a few days. He keeps the TV on and that stuff, and our house is real small, and boy, to have quiet for 6 days was wonderful. I got a lot of work done. But I went out on Sunday morning, and I was going to feed my cats. I had no pain, no nothing. I was feeling really good. I leaned down and started to say hello to my cat, Thomas. And my tongue was like, it's so swollen. I didn't realize it when I brushed my teeth that morning. And when I'm saying, hi, kitty, again, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, something's really wrong with me. And so I called, or tried to call my family that was near, and they were at church, so they couldn't help me. So I looked at me. There didn't seem to be anything wrong. Nothing wasn't not working except in my mouth. So I drove myself over to the hospital, and I walked in, and I said, I tried to say, I think I'm having a stroke. And they said, well, just have a seat in the waiting room. I was like, oh, and so they finally took my blood pressure. It was sky high, like 3-something over 190-something. And they finally said, yeah, we think you're having a stroke. And it started to get worse at that point. I lost the use of my left arm and hand. I lost the use of my left leg. And unless you've had a stroke, you cannot even imagine what this is like. You know where your foot is because you can feel it, and you look down, and it's someplace else. You think it's to the right of you, and it's over to the left, all crooked. Or you try to go down the steps, and you think your foot is on the step, and it's really halfway up the the riser, and then you fall down the steps because your foot isn't where you think it's going to be. And you try to think of something, and you know what the word is, and you try to say it. You know, you try to say Scotch tape, and it comes out Band-Aid or something. And it's just incredibly frustrating. When I tried to type, and that was going to be my therapy for my hand, I tried to type the word chicken, and it had four F's. It makes me smile every time I talk about it. But I'd send a signal to my finger, and it'd go to the other finger.
Wow.
It is something so unusual, and I started looking at strokes. Do you know that stroke is the second leading cause of death? I find that incredibly amazing. 70,000 individuals annually in the United States have a stroke. One person every 45 seconds. And they die 3.3. Someone in the U.S. dies every 3.3 minutes from a stroke. No, I didn't know that. So we went looking. Well, number one, the people brought me one of our, it's called a SMAD. I wasn't going to say SMAD because nobody knew what it meant. It's self-management auditory device that gives out frequencies. And they brought that to me at the hospital. But they really didn't know what to do with it, because we hadn't worked on stroke. We didn't have anything to do. So I just asked God for the number. And I punched the number in, and I began to talk a little clearer. I mean, I was totally not understandable. Heather, you called at the hospital.
Yeah. I tried to talk to you that day. I couldn't understand you. Luckily, Nikki was there to interpret for me. But she had called me earlier in that day. I was outside doing yard work or something, but she left me a couple messages saying, Heather, I don't mean to sound like I'm freaking out, but I'm freaking out. So
that was Nikki who called.
That was Nikki who called me.
Could you understand what I was saying?
No, I couldn't. Not that day, I could not.
Did you understand what I was trying to say to you?
Not really.
But just a few days of using this machine, I was able to talk again. I still didn't have use of my hand or my foot, so when I got out of the hospital, four or five days? I don't remember.
I think four and a half. You got out in the middle of the afternoon.
And I wasn't walking well. I was kind of dragging my left leg, and my left arm wanted to be behind me all the time, kind of curling behind me. I had seen people curled in front, but mine wanted to curl behind, which I thought was really strange. So I got together with Bailey, who does a lot of our databases and research, and we created a program for stroke victims to get back their voice. I think one of the things that I missed most of all was the inability to read to my grandchildren. And so we now have their picture on the front with me reading to them. We have this program, people. It's called ReVoice, and we want to teach you guys to use it. When you look at the number of people, 4 million people in the United States have survived a stroke or brain attack, and they're living with the effects afterwards. They can't use their hand. They can't talk. They can't use the side of their face. They can't smile. Their smile's crooked. They can't walk, or they drag a leg around. We can help people fix these things. But didn't we have somebody in shortly after this that had a stroke?
Linda,
mm-hmm. You want to talk about her profile, because you did it.
Mm-hmm. And if everyone would like to see that, I've got it linked up on Nutrisounds.com. Linda had suffered from a stroke earlier than Sherry, and had, I think this is when you were first developing the program, and she was amazed by her ability to bounce back so quickly, using the frequencies and the tones that you had given her. And she was almost in tears just talking about how wonderful it was and how quickly it worked.
That's Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sounds.com. Do you have that one on YouTube, too?
Yeah. I put that one on a couple months ago.
Okay, for those of you who've just joined us, we're Vocal Profiling Live on VBS Radio, and we're talking about stroke, my survival of a stroke. And I want to thank you guys publicly. You took over the show. You did well. How many weeks did you guys do the show?
Three or four weeks. Yeah, we pulled that off.
Until I could talk in public.
I mean, you were doing quite well, but you had your times where you would slip back with your speech.
When I get really tired.
Yeah.
And I talked a long time. And I know the first course that I taught afterwards, after Wednesday, I was just so tired. It takes a lot out of you. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time to bounce back, you know. And when I had my stroke, it also affected a clot or something in my pancreas. And I ended up with diabetes over it. So we're working on that too. And people, we found a commonality by the frequencies in the research that we do. We found a commonality between stroke and diabetes. It's vasopressin. When your sugar goes high, your vasopressin goes high to try to counter it, but high vasopressin also causes high blood pressure. So if people could just control that one thing, vasopressin, I think it would be incredible. The other research that we've done, the frequency of glucose, the frequency of glucose is also the retina of the eye. And the frequency of insulin is the dilator of the eye. What do you call a dilator of the eye? The
cornea.
Well, the cornea is kind of the lens. That has a relationship too. But we found the body is so redundant with these frequencies that if you've got a muscle out, like we had a lady in today, her shoulder was hurting her really bad and down in the deep in the joint. And the reciprocal of that is a thyroid. And it's a thyroid that she needed. They had her on the wrong thyroid medication. So your deltoid hurts, you likely have some kind of thyroid issue. And almost inevitably, anybody who's a diabetic is going to lose their eyesight. And we found those connections between the frequencies of the voice and diabetes and high blood pressure and stroke. The part of the brain, they didn't really know for a long time what part of my brain had the stroke. They couldn't find it. So finally, they did, it was a CAT scan or MRI, I think, and they found the blood clot. It was in a really weird place in the brain. Is it globus?
Globus pallidus.
So you did the research on it. And she brought this to me, and I looked at it because nobody could understand. I was saying to my husband, I don't know where my foot is. And he's going, it's right there. But it's so weird in trying to walk and, you know, stepping on your own foot. You know, you just don't know where your foot is. And it was so unusual. Even at the hospital, they said there was a very unusual kind of stroke. But this part of the brain is a proprioceptic part of the brain that tells you where your body parts are. Never did I ever imagine that you wouldn't know where your hand was. It's a freaky thing to have to go through. You know, and about a month or so ago, I was eating some nuts again. That was a challenge to even pick one up and eat it because I thought I'm going to have another stroke. But I got something caught in the back of my throat, and every time I would swallow, it would jab me, and it finally started to bleed. This was on a Friday night, and I thought, I'll wait till Monday, I'll go to my doctor. I don't want to go to the emergency room on something so stupid. So it kept poking me, and it would keep me awake. Every time I'd swallow, this thing with whatever was in the back of my throat was poking me. So I go to the doctor Monday morning, and he sends me to the hospital. And I go over there, and they poke in there, and they put a light and a mirror and all that in my throat. They said, there's nothing in here. We think that since you had this kind of stroke before, that maybe you're feeling something that isn't there. And they said, well, since this is the case and that's where your stroke is, we think that's what's happening. So they did another CAT scan or MRI or whatever they do for those things. I think they did both of them. They said, there's nothing there. We're very sure that this is just another stroke coming on. So we'll put you on a stroke watch. They put this IV in my hand, and they said, do you mind if we have a student do this? I said, yes, I mind. You know, they aren't very good. My veins aren't very plump upable or whatever they do to veins. I said, even the professionals really have a hard time. I'd just as soon a student not do this. So in comes these two people, and they're doing my hand thing, and they're talking, and they're students. And so they stick me in my hand, and they put in an IV, and you can see all the blood coming out under the skin where he's poked through the vein. And so now I've got a big hematoma on the back of my hand. It took almost a month.
I remember that.
For that to go away.
Horrible.
But they're saying, they had squeezed my hand, smile for me, stick out your tongue, move it to each side, all the stroke stuff, you know. And they sent me home on a stroke watch with this thing taped to me after two or three tries because they thought if she's going to stroke, we're going to have this be prepared because we think a stroke is imminent. Now, if they thought a stroke was imminent, why did they send me home, right? So I go home, and by this time, I'm ticked off. They poked, they prodded, they said, okay, go see this other guy on Thursday. I went home, I took my husband's water pick that he, you know, does his teeth with, which is a really high, not high volume, but high pressure squirt thing that he cleans his teeth with, and I stuck it up in there where the pain was and where I was getting stuck every time I'd swallow, and out come two brown pieces. And they were like hard. They were either a piece of a nutshell or a piece of an herb, you know, the hard kind of vein part of the herb. Instantly, my pain went away. Now, what does that tell you that the hospital knows about the stroke?
Not very much.
Well, at least in my case, they didn't.
Yeah.
But it also told me don't eat nuts anymore.
Nuts are a dangerous thing for you, Sherry.
Well, they're full of vitamin K, which make your blood clot up. So I decided to use B3, which helps thin your blood. I use ginkgo biloba, which helps thin your blood. I use several things, like there's a Krebs cycle pill that's magnesium and chromium that helps with blood sugar. So slowly weaning myself off of their medication. You know, one of the very first things they wanted to do when I went in the hospital was to put me on Lipitor. I said, I'm not going on Lipitor. My cholesterol's not high. I know it's not high. She said, we do it for all stroke victims. I said, I'm not taking it. She said, we'll see. You know, really snotty. And she got the doctor, and they're trying to tell me to take Lipitor. I said, you show me that my cholesterol is high because I know that attacks your liver. I know it's not good for you. I know it ruins your enzymes. When they sent the blood test back, my cholesterol was low. Now, because that is a standard protocol for stroke victims, that's what they wanted to do with me.
Just recently, you know, you hear all these horrible reports that have come out about Lipitor, so.
Well, how'd they ever get on the market in the first place? If they
weren't, how did a lot of medications get out on the market, you know? It's amazing to me.
And why do we trust these people?
It's a learned behavior, you know?
Well, I think part of it's our fault. We are absolutely a litigious society. We sue at the drop of the hat. Actually, we sue at the drop of coffee in our crotch.
That famous, I have to sue over that, too.
Well, we put coffee in a pliable cup in their crotch, you know, to hold it while they're driving and moving their legs. But she got millions and whatever. But we sue. And so the insurance company and the HMOs have had to make, okay, if this person comes in with this symptom, you have to do this, 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 and this. It's like cover your ass time. Mm-hmm. So they can't find anything wrong with me, so it's cover your ass and you're having a stroke. I took that stupid thing out of my hand myself. I was so upset at just being in some kind of nut hole up in my throat somewhere. But I went to the doctor this was on Monday, and by Thursday, you know, a stroke watch, I'm going to go from Monday to Thursday. I went there, and by that time, I had strep throat. Now, I didn't have strep throat before I went to the hospital. Nobody in my family had strep throat. I think I got that strep throat in the hospital. They stuck a thing, a little camera light thing, in my mouth, and I think the last person they stuck it in, down their throat, had strep throat. So this is called iatrogenic disease, doctor calls, and nosocomial disease, hospital-caused disease. And it is time for a change. We really do want you guys to call us and give us your vocal profile. Anybody who wants to do bio diet, anybody who wants to have us kind of look at a stroke, especially if you've lost your voice.
we want to look at that tonight. So what we decided to do was create a series of computer programs so that people could monitor their own health. Bailey, you created something called hypertension. Is that done and available yet in the program, or is it just...
That is actually going to be added into the Heart Tracker program, which I believe they just finished yesterday.
So that's going to be available to people, yes?
Yes.
And what are we checking for there?
The hypertension, we've listed everything that relates to hypertension, what makes it high, what makes it low, and then we list all the medications.
So it's like, for instance, if silica showed up, we know that silica, low silica, can cause high blood pressure.
Yes.
And we know that things like selenium can cause the integrity of the blood vessels not to be well, and you can get an aneurysm at that point.
Right.
So we look at aneurysm, we look at hypertension, high blood pressure, we look at the genetics, we look at vitamin D, because there's a vitamin D fault on in some families where one quarter of the heart, one ventricle of the heart goes bad. And that happened to my brother is the reason that research got in there. So we can take someone's vocal print and we can look at their heart indicators. We can also look at troponin. We talked about that before. When there's damage, there's a biomarker called troponin. I want to talk about cancer markers, too, so I'm going to write this down here. And Dr. Rudy had been in a car accident, and we've talked about him on the show several times. He's the MS client that we did. And he had crushed his hand, so he couldn't move his little finger very well. And he's an emergency room physician, so that was important. You know, he just sewed people up and stuff. And he needed that little finger, so he came over here. We helped him do that in about 20 minutes or so. But he had high troponin in his chart, and his wife was in the car with him when he had this accident. I said, there's some heart markers here for damage to the heart. Can I test both of you? So we tested Karen, his wife, and sure enough, they both had troponin, this really high chemical that said the heart's damaged. They didn't catch it in the emergency room when they did the night of the accident, but we caught it when we did the vocal profile. And so they then were able to take it a little easy, maybe take some carnitine. I don't know what they really took to help it. But we could see that in the vocal profile where the emergency room missed it. And we want everybody who has a stroke victim in their family, who they've had a stroke or they think they're ripe for a stroke. And there's some statistics here that menopausal women, people who have had stroke in their family, people who have vitamin K issues. It says here women over 55. Males, Afro-American males. The incident of stroke in Afro-American males is approximately 93 per 100,000 people. We want to look at that. Stroke in Caucasian males is 62.8 per every 100,000 people. So people who are overweight, people who have diabetes are very ripe for a stroke. And anybody who has high blood pressure. And two other things that we found that's not in the literature, one is restless leg syndrome. Because that means there's not enough circulation in the whole system. The legs go first. And the other is nanobacteria. So people get a lot of plaque in their teeth. That's an indication of nanobacteria, and nanobacteria can attack the heart. And we can look at that. Says fewer than half of all individuals over 50 are actually aware of what a stroke is. That's very true. I didn't know what a stroke is, but if you suspect you're having one, things to look at. Go to the mirror. Smile. If your smile is lopsided, chances are it could be a stroke. Stick out your tongue. Can you stick it one side and then the other, or does your tongue kind of lull over there? There's two things that you can look at. Clench your fist or have somebody else hold your fingers and see if you can clench with both hands. It might save your life someday. We estimate 3 million people in the U.S. have had a stroke and they're recuperating. There is a need for people to use this Revoice and Stroke program so that they can help people in their community, because as you can see in my case, I wasn't getting much help. They didn't put me in any kind of rehabilitation whatsoever because they saw me getting better using the sound. I have a muscle. I did muscles for my fingers. I did muscles for my thigh. I did muscles for my nerve because there was actually a disconnect someplace between that blood clot in my brain and what signal it was sending.
How did the hospital respond to you doing your frequency while you were in the hospital?
They left me alone because I could turn off the machine and couldn't talk again. Of course, they probably thought I was faking, but I could turn it off and you could tell the difference in my speech. But we found a lot of new frequencies that we didn't have in our regular database. A frequency for the vocal cords, and sometimes those still go when I'm tired. A frequency for the palate. The roof of my mouth gets very, very stiff, and my tongue begins to swell up. Because if you take the two frequencies that I have for my vocal cords and mix them together, it's the frequency for the tongue. And the tongue frequency, for me, is potassium. When I have enough potassium, my tongue doesn't swell and lap over my teeth. And potassium is what helps keep the heartbeat regular. The body is so incredibly redundant. I am so relieved that Sylvia Franck in her book said, this is information from the Holy Grail, Hidden Mysteries. Because I can't always account for where I get the frequencies. I just get an idea. And then we're finding that the literature is catching up with us. You know, when we did a study on vitamin C, it took the literature 11 years to catch up with us because we're able to show that it affects B6 and copper. And we did that study in 1991. It didn't appear in the literature until much later than that. So you have a heart tracker program, Bailey, that we've been using, and that does a lot. We also have an eye tracker, don't we, that people can use?
That's in the works right now. It's not quite ready, but it's a great program. We've added in a lot of macular degeneration stuff, a lot of just all kinds of different eye information.
Cataracts?
Yes, we just did cataracts.
Retinitis pigmentosa and retinopathy. That comes from the diabetes with a detached retina. We helped a lady reattach her retina. We weren't even looking for that. We were trying to help her walk straight because her hip was out. And she looked over at me and she said, well, I can see your face now. I said, you didn't tell me you couldn't see my face before. And she said, oh, the doctor told me I'd never get any better. But the frequency for that hip muscle was the same one for the retina and the eye. We had that one on film. That two different practitioners went together to do a project about that, because they were working on hip. We didn't even know it was going to turn up eyes. That's what a lot of these profiles that you end up doing, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have hundreds yet? Or
I get to do the really fun stuff. And, you know, I tell Bailey every day I come here, I feel like I fall into a time warp where time speeds up and there's got 20 projects going on, you know, at the same time, and I'm learning to juggle all of them. But, yeah. Bailey keeps me in profile work.
I tell Heather she's not allowed to sleep until I have more profiles.
So when
she means that.
So when people come into the clinic, you take pictures of them, you take movies of them, Bailey?
We do an initial interview, just basically ask them, state their name, the date, why they're here, what they're hoping to gain from the appointment, and what outcome they expect at the end.
You know, I love the ones who say, well, I just hope for, you know, to be more comfortable, to
make life a little bit easier.
And then at the end they're going, oh, my God, you know, this is wonderful. This is a miracle. And here, you can talk about Robert Day, who's one of my favorites. I know your favorite, too. Macular degeneration, speaking of eyes.
Robert Day is our macular degeneration client. He's my favorite because...
one of them. You have several.
Yes, yes. He's one of my favorites. He's up there. And he came in and was telling stories of getting speeding tickets because he couldn't see the lights until he was right up on them. He couldn't see road signs until he was right past them. He was basically driving blind, so...
He quit driving after a while, didn't he?
No, he drove down.
That's amazing to me. kind of scary.
So, yeah, I'm afraid to be on the road.
So at the end of our first day's appointment, he starts pointing out things like Sherry had glasses on her head, and, you know, he could see the top half of a body and things like that. And that's, you know, that's just the first day after 10 minutes of listening to the tones.
And you're thinking, oh, my God, how does he ever see street signs and street lights?
Yeah, he had told several stories of getting pulled over.
Going down a narrow street, and he couldn't see the edges of the cars, I bet.
But, you know, he was in recently and told us a story about his doctor.
I don't know this. Tell me.
He was in the waiting room, you know, waiting for his doctor, his eye doctor, to arrive. He sees a specialized doctor for his macular degeneration. They told him there was nothing they could do. He would basically just degenerate from there on out. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, listening to the tones, had been seeing better. Everything was going better. They wanted to dilate his eyes to ready him for his appointment. And he said, no, I'd like to speak to the doctor about what I'm doing first. You know, so the nurse, she calls the doctor and tells him what's going on, and he says, no, go ahead and dilate his eyes. So, you know, he says, no, I don't want to do that until I talk to him about what I'm doing. I want him to see the difference before he dilates my eyes. And the nurse calls him again, and the doctor says, if he won't have his eyes dilated, I won't see him. I don't believe in that stuff.
So he wouldn't even pay attention to the fact that the guy can now see.
Wouldn't even consider it.
He can read a newspaper now.
Yeah, I've got that on video.
He can read the menu from his favorite diner that he goes to every
that
morning.
That was his favorite part, was being able to read that menu.
Well, will you talk a little bit, Bailey, about Chris that came in last week? That was an awesome case.
Chris was, I would say, on the severe side of autism. 35 years old. Very quiet, though. Very kept to himself and ingenious about movies. He could tell you any movie that was coming out this year and the exact date and how many times they remade it and anything you wanted to know about a movie. But he was very quiet and very hard to understand at times. So, you know, that day Sherry works on him and gets some tones ready. And she sent him home, and his...
Well, when we had him try to talk to us, the first day he wouldn't talk about movies. He just wouldn't hardly talk at all. He kept his head down. And the only thing he could say to us in response to talk to us was ABCs, and even those were mixed up. Okay, now go on.
He went home, and his mother reported to us the next day that immediately she noticed the difference. When he watched TV, he wasn't up pacing and flipping channels. He actually sat down and watched an entire show. So that was, you know, when the parents noticed, that's the amazing part.
Well, we found out that he has a high allergic reaction to milk protein and started looking at, he had like 34 out of 48 hits on this problem with milk protein. And then his mother said, yes, he was allergic to milk when he was little. He vomited it all up. And she went through this whole scenario of this milk problems that he was having. And they had never mentioned that to us. The next day, I asked him, well, Woody said, will you say your ABCs again? And he said, wouldn't you rather know about a movie? And I said, okay, tell me about a movie. And he's like, blah, 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 and this, blah, 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 you know, and on, and telling me, you know, straight up, and his mom is sitting there with her tongue hanging out of her mouth, or, you know, his jaw dropped. He would relate, and he could talk, and he could respond. And it was incredible to see the difference in this man. You talked to his mom. Is there a profile of that?
That's another one in the works.
Okay.
Yeah, I interviewed her, and it's amazing. I mean, she was amazed. She said she would recommend, if you're even thinking about this, definitely at least check it out. You owe yourself that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a non-invasive thing, which is one of her favorite things about this approach.
Well, people find what we do unbelievable until they come here. And I think since Sylvia Franck has attached us to This is Holy Grail Mysteries, that explains a bit of where this information is coming from, to me at least, because I didn't know. People would ask me questions about this, and I'd think, boy, I don't know that answer. and I'd hear me answering it. And I'd think, boy, that's interesting. I got to write that down. And so she feels like this is just a bleed through or reincarnation, or it's in my genes that this stuff is coming out with all of this hidden math, and that we can use it and use the math of someone's voice to find out really what's going on with somebody.
And we don't make you take your clothes off either. Like that other guy.
Unless you really want to. Then.
Can you go to Heather's office?
You guys are having fun.
It is that time of the night.
Well, we've got other programs that we didn't get to talk about. We've got the anti-aging. Can we talk about that next Thursday?
Yeah, that would be a great topic.
Rejuvenate.
It's called Rejuvenation, and we'll take calls, and you can go right online and watch us do this. So for this week, while you're not with us, go to Skype, skype.com, and set up a, what do they call it, an address?
Just set up an account.
An account, okay. And you can do bio diet. You can join us for the preview classes. You can join us for what we're even doing with the Army. We're doing a post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, and a big thing about the bio diet, people get so depressed and then they eat because they're depressed. And in there we have all the neurotransmitters. And there's this thing called receptors that we don't have time enough to talk about because we only have 2 minutes left and I have to hurry. You know, I couldn't do that before. I couldn't talk fast.
That's what I was going to say.
So the B-voice is what we want. We have one called the sex factors.
I'll head up that show.
Okay. The chemicals of desire and beyond. Designed to enhance sexual performance issues and activities. We also have this stuff about milk protein. About
the show in itself.
Yeah, about Chris and that guy. Just so many wonderful things. And we want to teach it to you guys. We want you to call 740-698-9119. Sign up for this preview class, and we will give you a free trial of this invoice program to help you get started. And you can earn enough money with that so that I have lost my music here. You can learn enough... earn enough money with that to go ahead and take the next course and the next course and the next course. Heather, talk about this brochure. 1, 2, 3. Step one, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, you do this. Step three.
That's available on Nutrisounds as well. Just go to Nutrisounds.com. Go to the media section. There's a flyer, how I can do vocal profiling professionally. Simple, lined out. Step one, step two, step three. Simple as that.
Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for your community. Do it for your nation, because health care is going down the tubes, and we're the only hope.
Every possible mistake. La, 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 la.